redemption, when God finally accomplishes all that he desired from the beginning, and it's his and ours forever in the New Jerusalem. No sin, no sorrow, nothing but glory, honor, love, flowing, beauty, nothing to mar it, no stains at all. So let's pray and we'll dive in. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. Thank you for the mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, Father, for your love for all of us, Lord, the stepmoms as well. And Father, we ask that you would bless each of them and bless us all as we turn to your word now. You've promised it here at the beginning of the book, and again at the end, you promise a blessing on all those who read and especially those who keep the words of this prophecy. Help us to not only read them, but also trust in them, abide in them, live in the power of these words, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We got as far as verse 18 in chapter 21 last week, and then because of time's sake, I kind of skipped over the gemstones of the foundation. So we'll back up and go through that. And we'll get into verse chapter 22, probably finish next Sunday, but we should at least dip into chapter 22 a little. Some background on this. In fact, Bob, if you want to flash the picture of the globe with my really spectacular arts and crafts on that. Some of you saw this on a Wednesday night, but when it comes on the screen, I'll point it out. And so the dimensions of the New Jerusalem are pretty awesome, 1,380 miles cubed. And if the new earth is the same size as our present earth, which it may be much bigger, but if it was the same size and the New Jerusalem were to come down out of heaven and land on the United States, that's what it would look like. And that's approximately the scale of 1,380 miles cubed, taking up more than half the United States and that high as well. So that's where we'll dive in. There's four gates on each of the four walls for a total of 12 gates. And the names of the 12 tribes of Israel are inscribed on the gates. It doesn't tell us how wide the gates are. It does tell us, we'll find in the text, the gates never close. There's no hinges on these gates. It's basically an ornate entryway, whether they're a mile wide or 5 miles wide or 10 miles. Remember, there's three of them in 1,380 miles. So they could easily be 5 miles or bigger, wide, made out of a pearl to give ready access to the city. And some of the scholars say they're as high as the wall are, that these gates are not only, that are maybe 1,380 miles. It's not in the text. They get into a lot of speculation, and maybe we'll have a little fun with some of that. But there's the gates, and there's the mention of the 12 tribes forever and ever and ever. The promises of God are yea and amen, and he doesn't take any of them back. So these 12 tribes and all the Jews that are from those 12 tribes that are redeemed will see the name of their tribe, or one of the 12 tribes, every time they go in and out of a gate, forever and ever and ever. Not only that, there's 12 foundation stones, and we'll get to those in just a minute. And the names of the 12 apostles are inscribed on the 12 foundations. So we're going to be looking at the names of Peter, James, John, and I think the 12th name will be Paul. When we get there, anybody think it's Matthias? And bold enough to say so? You think it's Matthias? All right. So Acts 1 would those that think Matthias took the spot of Judas Iscariot, because there's Bible, evidence for that in Acts chapter 1. I had a friend who's home with the Lord. Rob Tompkins is home with the Lord now. He always thought it was Matthias. So we had this bet that when we get there, we're going to go to the 12th foundation stone. We're going to see whose name is written there, because my money's on Paul. And without getting into all the different scriptural evidence for each side, it's going to be probably one or the other. We don't know for sure. We know it's not going to be Judas Iscariot. That won't be there. But we're going to be looking at the names of the 12 apostles. Now, we read about these guys and all of their goof-ups in the scriptures, and Jesus rebuking them and chastising them and correcting them. But they were chosen by God. They are the foundation of the church and all the church age, and their names, we're going to be looking at them forever and ever and ever inscribed, because God is that good, and he honors those that honor him. So, let's see. Verse 18, the construction of it. Oh, if you want to flash up the picture in succession, those other pictures I sent you, Bob, the pictures of an artist's concept of the New Jerusalem. So the disclaimer, I don't know if it's going to look like this, but this is the best the artist could come up with. And so because it's the walls are pure gold, the city's pure gold. And it's another artist's concept. And he's got the foundation stones. Is that not working, huh? Oh, wrong. Yeah, there we go. And he's got them. That's the first foundation stone, the blue jasper, the white blue jasper, and then all 12 in succession. So maybe they're like that. Although I'm thinking the gates are going to go down through the foundations. Otherwise, you got to jump off. Some of the commentators think it's going to hover above the earth, and others think it's going to actually come down and land on the surface of the earth. And so I'm lean towards the landing on the surface of the earth and the gates being as high as the walls, because you want to access the top floor, you have to go in through the bottom and then go up maybe a vertical street of gold passageway. But anyways, this is just artists thinking, drawing what they think it could look like. But it's huge, and the other picture shows how big it would be on the earth comparatively. 1,380 miles. It's hard for us to, you know, wrap our minds around those dimensions here on earth. As far as from the eastern seaboard to Denver, from the Canadian border all the way to the Gulf of Mexico, that's approximately the dimensions we're looking at, and that high. So we went into the calculations. Henry Morris did some calculations, and he said, if there's 20 billion redeemed in the family of God, and with dimensions this side, every one of the 20 billion would have a mansion approximately a third of a mile cubed. So if you're like cramped in a small apartment and you're like looking, longing for the day that you have, just remember, you're going to have to, here on earth, you're going to have to clean it. You get into a bigger house, you've got to clean it still, unless you're wealthy enough to hire others to come in and clean it. But I don't think we're going to have to clean in the New Jerusalem. I think it's going to be like self-maintaining. Just my guess. Just my guess. That would be right there. Some of you guys think that's heaven, right? That's, I don't have to clean it. So, or maintain it. All right, guys, that's heaven if we don't have to maintain it. If you're a homeowner for any length of time, you know what I mean. So we're renovating. I built the house 30 years ago. We've been living in it 30 years, and now it's time for renovations. So since I built it the first time, I'm thinking maybe I'm obligated to do the renovations. We'll see. Some of them anyways. It says, the construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. There's a lot of conjecture about this, because here on this earth, gold is not transparent. You can't see through it. Even if you beat it fine, they use it as gold leaf on glass, but you don't see through the gold even if they beat it really thin. But in the new heavens and the new earth, this material will actually be transparent. He calls it gold here, but it's something that we don't have here on earth. Obviously, it's very precious. That's why he calls it gold, but it's going to be transparent, perhaps like glass with a golden hue to it, like you can see through, like liquid honey is, you can see through the honey, but it's got that amber golden hue to it. Maybe something to that, only solid, not liquid, but pure gold. It's interesting, Carmen brought up that to make gemstones, the heat and the intensity and the pressure required in making the gemstones, the heat actually purifies, and we know that that's a physical property of heat. So when God collapses the entire, at least the present earth and its atmosphere, perhaps all of the universe, when he collapses it and perhaps turns it into heat energy and reforms it, everything's going to be purified. So it won't just be spiritual purification, it'll be material purification as well, supplied by the intense heat. So we have, I got a couple of pictures off of Etsy, and Bob's got those. We can flash one and then the other of these gemstones. And there's also some controversy about what the gemstones are and what they were called in the time that John wrote it. And we'll take a quick look. So this is in the rough. This is the gemstones that we're going to read about here. They all have some symbolic, the colors and the stones that have those colors have symbolic meanings that we don't have time to get into all of that here. And then there's another Etsy merchant that's selling the clear forms. Actually, I see my reflection in this as I was taking the picture, snapping. We'll just quickly zip through these 12 gemstones that make up the foundation. Verse 19, the foundations of the wall were of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Now at this point, perhaps he's still outside the city. He had been watching it come down out of heaven towards the earth. Perhaps he's looking through the gate to the golden streets. Some point he goes inside the city, and the angel is his tour guide inside the city in the next few verses. And he says, now, the fact that it's made out of gemstones, it speaks of durability. It's not going to ever deteriorate. It's not going to crumble. It's going to last forever and ever, just like our glorified bodies are going to last forever and ever and ever. And the construction of the city, pure gold, precious stones, lasting, long-lasting, not deteriorating at all. Well, Henry Morris goes on into the scientific aspects. He said the second law of thermodynamics, that everything goes, you know, is running down, basically, and transferring to heat energy that's not capturable again. At least that's what he said. But that the second law of thermodynamics, he said, that'll be suspended forever. Nothing's going to wear out. Nothing's going to deteriorate at all. Just perfection, durable, long, eternal perfection. But verse 22, he says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So now we've seen there's been two temples already, Solomon's temple and then Zerubbabel's temple, and both lasted a little over 400 years, and then they were destroyed. There will be another temple, the Temple Mount Faithful, are ready to build it. As soon as they can get access to the Temple Mount, they will rush up there and put together another temple that will be during the tribulation period. That will be the shortest of all the temples because it won't last more than 7 years before it's destroyed, and the Antichrist will defile that. Now, our Lord Jesus actually walked into the second temple and ministered in Zerubbabel's temple. The glory of the Lord, and so the presence of the Trinity was in the first temple, Solomon's temple, showed up in a cloud and glory filled the temple. In Zerubbabel's temple, Jesus actually walked as a man who is God and ministered there. He cleaned house a couple of times, because they were defiling it by the way they were merchandising the worshipers and ripping them off, both in the exchange from Roman currency to temple shekels, and then rip them off again when they would buy the animals at an exorbitant price. Jesus just cleaned house, tipped over the tables, sent them packing, opened the cages. I want to see that. When I get to heaven, I want to, hopefully whether we get to actually time travel and see it in person or video, I want to see Jesus, you know, really lining them out, saying, you've turned my father's house into a den of thieves. They're like animals running around. Anyways, coins flying everywhere. But The next temple will get, Jesus won't be there. The Antichrist will set himself up as God, the great deceiver. And then there'll be a fourth temple during the millennial reign. It's called Ezekiel's temple. There's a very detailed description of it in Ezekiel's prophecy. And we'll actually get to go in that temple. So, you know, we didn't get to go in the first two, and hopefully none of you will ever be in the third one. But we'll all be in the fourth temple for 1,000 years. We'll get to go in the temple and be with the Lord in the renewed Jerusalem, not the new Jerusalem, not the present Jerusalem. The present Jerusalem will have to be renovated for 1,000-year reign. But we're going to get to go in that fourth temple. But then we're going to live forever in the new Jerusalem, and we are the temple. Right now, spiritually, every single one of us is the temple of the Holy Spirit, our body, our physical body. God is living within us. Do we respect our body like that? Do we take care of our body, or do we not take care of our body? It's a temple of the Holy Spirit right now. Collectively, we are the temple. Do we care for the church? Do we care for our brothers and sisters? That's how we care for the temple here and now, as we love one another, care for one another, serve one another. We're caring for the temple of God here in the church age. And we'll do it forever in the New Jerusalem, and the whole 1,380-mile cubed city of precious gold and every gemstone, and some others we're going to read about when we get to verse chapter 22, where we live forever. It will all be a temple. It will, because it's where that God lives with us, the Father. Now, we're going to get to spend 7 years. If you die before the rapture, you get to spend some extra time. All of our brothers and sisters that are home with the Lord, they're getting extra time with the Father. But if we get raptured together, we still get 7 years with the Father before we come back to the earth for the millennial reign, and we get to live 1,000 years with perfect people, rule over not perfect people, but fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ and one another and all the saints that are in resurrection bodies with no old sin natures. And I can't help but think that during that 1,000-year reign, although I'm sure we're going to enjoy it, we'll minister, we'll serve appropriately, the people that we're ruling over, they will come to us to be their counselors, maybe even their healers, as they live for most of, if not all of, the 1,000 years. But I think we're going to be looking forward to the New Jerusalem until it comes. Now, while we're with the Lord for that 7 years, it might very well might be this New Jerusalem. We might get 7 years there before we come back to the millennial reign, and we're going to be longing for it to some degree. Just like right now, perhaps you're really longing for Jesus to come. Like, we're willing to serve him, walk by faith, enjoy the grace of God right here, right now. But even while we do that, we're like, oh, I'm really looking forward to seeing you face to face. I'm really looking forward to being with you. It doesn't keep us from serving with joy, even here and now, but we got something to look forward to. And I think even during the millennial reign, we're still going to have some, we're going to spend 7 years or more in our mansion, perhaps, in the New Jerusalem before it comes to the earth. I think we're going to be longing for it. That's, again, there's a little bit of speculation here, so I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. But there's reasons to believe, we went into this on a Wednesday night, that this New Jerusalem is in existence already, and the evidence is there in Paul's letter to the Galatians and also in the letter to the Hebrews, that Abraham was looking for this city, by faith, thousands of years ago. So this New Jerusalem, we'll get back into some more, finish up at least this chapter. Verse 23, the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So the New Jerusalem will be well lit all the time. I'm thinking no shadows at all. That the light that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ will shine throughout the whole 1,380 miles cubed and will reflect off the transparent walls of transparent gold. So the light will be bouncing everywhere. Everything's going to be illuminated completely all the time. Amir Safadi has some interesting comments. He said, for all of you that like your naps, you might that might disturb you. He said, just pull the shades. I'm not sure if that'll work or not, but now, it doesn't say there won't be any sun or moon. Actually, there's hints that there still will be a sun and a moon in the new heavens and the new earth, because there'll still be months. But in the city, there'll be no darkness ever. If you like, if you're saying, I'm going to miss the sunrise and the sunset or the moon shining at night and the stars, you might just have to go to another part of the planet to observe that. Yeah, you could go there. Go there and come back. Probably at a hypersonic rate. You probably won't be limited to Mach 1 or Mach 2. You might even be able to travel at the speed of light. Who knows? We'll have to find out. But if you want to go, hey, let's go see the sunset, and just gone, go see the sunset, and then back through the pearl gates to your mansion in the New Jerusalem. They get into a lot of speculation. I don't think I have time for too much of it. Maybe I'll get into a little bit more. It says, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. So in our resurrection bodies, anybody here proud of your heritage? Ah, we got Ross Izzo. Proud to be Italian, right? 100%? Yes. Yeah, my oldest two daughters are half Italian. But our ethnicity in our resurrection bodies. Now, a lot of us are, you know, Americans. You'd call us maybe mixed breeds or mutts or whatever. But we'll be American. Forever and ever and ever. Whatever we are in our resurrection bodies, the glory of God, there'll be no old sin nature. We'll all look, most of us will look better than we do now. Ashley, you know, she's probably right there. But some say we'll look like we did in our 30s. So Ashley, who knows? Maybe you'll even look better in your 30s. But how many are in their 30s here? We just got a few of our 30-year-olds. My daughter Hannah's, yeah, we've got a few. So all of us that are past our flower of our age, looking forward to, yeah, I'd like to look like that again. But how about forever and ever and ever? Now, so we're going to keep our ethnicity forever and ever. The Jewish people, they're going to be thankful to be Jewish forever and ever, because there's a special honor for all those that have that. And many of us have some Jewish blood in us, so maybe we'll just, I'm like 10%. 5%, I'm 1%. But whatever our ethnicity is, it's a part of our resurrection body. Now, we may get to go, a little speculation here, but I don't think it's too far-fetched. So we may get an invitation from George Washington to let's go on an expedition. Let's go back to where America was. And we may get a personal expedition with George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, or Ronald Reagan, or President Trump. I never know. Did I say that? Yeah, I did. Anyways, so he was a president. Might be again. Anyways, we might get an invitation to go. So, Ross, your favorite Italian king or emperor, who would that be? Don't know. All right. So anyways, you'll find out. Maybe you'll get an invitation. Ross will say, hey, Italians, come with me. We're going on an expedition. It wasn't Mussolini. Hopefully he'll be there, but you never know. Probably not. Anyways.
Don Corleone.
Okay, so we get to go out and explore and maybe even bring back treasures and maybe even be sent on missions by the Lord himself. The Lord might say, hey, I want you to go and take these folks and go to a place on the new earth. Or some are speculating maybe even to faraway galaxies. Go, hey, I've got some surprise waiting for you in a galaxy, and he'll give us the coordinates. Go that galaxy and bring me back some of this or that, whatever, just for kicks. Just because our Heavenly Father loves us. He wants to bless us. Have you come to the place where you realize that we get surprised by our Heavenly Father, sometimes on a regular basis? I want to tell you this. We're not going to be bored. He's not going to make our eternal life boring. You know, we're not going to spend all our time playing harps. You know, we might play them. Can you see Frank Pallor with a harp? I want to see that. I want to see Frank with a harp. He's our electric guitar man. Anyways, he's pretty good. And the Lord might just say, all right, time for Frank to do a solo and spotlight on Frank with his harp. Just for kicks. So, all right, and we're not going to get to chapter 22, so we'll have to save the water of life for next Sunday. But verse 25, it says, its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. Continual access, 24/7. You don't have to, anytime you want to go, go. In the will of God, for the glory of God. Go and come through the pearl gates back to your mansion. Some theorize that we may have second homes or third homes somewhere else on the planet. There's nothing saying that it's not possible. It's very possible that we may, maybe you've been longing for a home on Lake George. If we get other, we don't know if there'll be lakes. We know there'll be river. The river of life flows and waters the whole city and probably the whole earth. It's the only water source. So a river, maybe not a lakeside home. How about a riverside home? The river of life with the tree of life. We'll get into this next week. The tree of life lining the river of life in front of your home away from your mansion. Maybe. We know this. He's going to go beyond all that we can ask or think. So if you can dream of it, it's going to be better. So go ahead and dream away. You know. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Everything will be for the glory of the King of Kings. We'll have kings, we'll have rulers, maybe you'll be one. But all of our glory will be to the Lord. Every expedition out and every coming home will all be to the glory of God. No one's going to be looking for glory for themselves at all. All the glory is going to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, to our Father, to our Savior. And we'll bring the glory and the honor of the nations, the ethnos, into the New Jerusalem. Verse 27, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so there's just a little reminder here at the end of the chapter. There no sin, no defilement, nothing but absolute holiness and purity for age upon age upon age. That's where we're headed. So if life can, now down here in this life, this is our time for earning rewards. This is our time for fighting the good fight of faith. Facing every battle, not trying to run, but trusting in God. Well, if we run right to the Lord. That's all. We just run to God. But to fight the good fight, because this is the place where we get to display whatever faith and grow our faith, win the battles, bring glory to God in this present evil world. Because as we do that, we are actually laying up treasures in heaven. Jesus said, don't lay up your treasures here on earth. Lay up your treasures in heaven. And that's how we do it, by fighting the good fight of faith, by honoring the Lord Jesus Christ right here, right now, no matter what we have to deal with. And sometimes it'll look like, you know, there's no way we can do this. But with God, all things are possible. So we can. We can always trust in the Lord, run to Him, and by our reliance upon Him, bring glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I do ask that you would help us. Lord, help us to remember these words and be encouraged by them, to get a second wind when we need it, to trust in you, run to you, always go forward by faith, following you, Lord Jesus, being led by your Spirit, walking in faith, obedience, for your glory, for your honor, because that's what we're made for. And that will be our eternal destiny. Help us to exercise it now by faith. If you've never prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, you can do that now in a simple prayer of faith. In your own heart and in your own mind, please pray with me. Pray, dear Jesus, thank you for paying for my sins with your blood on your cross. I do receive you as my Savior by faith right now. Please come and live within me through your Holy Spirit. Please give me the gift of everlasting life and make me a child of God. Amen. If you've prayed that for the very first time, please let me or someone know before you leave this place. If you're watching us on the internet and you've prayed to receive Christ, we would love to hear from you, your testimony. And if you don't have a New Testament, we would love to give you a New Testament. It'll be our gift to you. You'll have to send us your name and address so we can mail it to you, but we would love to give you a New Testament. And thanks for tuning in, and a shout out to all those at the Loudonville home for assisted living. And Mark, we'll see you Monday. I might be there Monday as well. So God bless you for watching.